Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 709. I am just going to talk in this podcast. I have no preparation. I'm going to talk about stuff that's going on in the podcast world. So this is what I call a podcast consciousness podcast. And we're going to talk about whatever comes into my head in podcast 709. Feels good to do it this way because I was going to do a podcast about something this weekend. I ended up working all weekend on it and threw it away. So we're going to do it this way in podcast 709. Now, I want to talk to people out there who are developers. In other words, people who develop websites for clients who are looking for payment processing. If you know somebody, if you can refer a payment processor to a friend who is doing business and needs to have payment processing issues addressed, and especially if you are a developer and you want to refer a payment processor to your client or actually install a payment processor by the name of ReliaFund, you will be very, very happy because ReliaFund is awesome. ReliaFund is a payment processor. They've been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So if you're developing an e-commerce site, if you're developing a site, if you're doing payment processing for a client, call ReliaFund. Click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. It's ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N. ReliaFund.com, because you will talk to a human being. Now, I know a lot of developers like email and they don't like talking to human beings, but these guys can work with you to help your client. No long-term contracts. They're secure, technology-focused. You can call them at 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040. You'll talk to Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill, or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. Let me tell you something. I sent in introduced myself to those guys through their contact form, and we ended up working together. And I love ReliaFund.com. I have a ReliaFund button on my website so clients can pay using ReliaFund, and I think your clients will like them too. ReliaFund at R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com, or you can click on that banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. By the way, the Bob Davis Podcast is growing, partially due to the streaming. I see, a lot of people streaming, listening to the stream on the BobDavisPodcast.com. Basically, when you hit the site, depending on the browser you're using, it will start playing the last three podcasts. So you can just sit and listen to it, or you can, subscribe to the feed off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can also find the Bob Davis Podcast at iTunes, TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com, and for Android devices, Stitcher.com works pretty well. And we're at Google Play, and it really sounds good on Google Play, and of course, right off the page, at the Bob Davis Podcast. And I hope I mentioned iTunes, but I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter. Wayne Nelson sent me $75, which is great, and you do that through the PayPal window in the donation box at thebobdavispodcast.com. You click on a picture of mobile podcast command at the top of the page or look for that big yellow donate button. So thanks, you guys, for donating to thebobdavispodcasts.com. In this podcast, I've been struggling, oddly enough, with this podcast, podcast 709, all weekend. And part of it has been, this has been a very active weekend for news, the weekend of March, 23rd, 2018. We had the student marches against gun violence. We had activity from the White House with McMaster's leaving as national security advisor and then John Bolton being appointed. So there's an awful lot going on in the news that could be talked about. And I was going to do something about American tribes, and I had this whole podcast that I put together. And as I sat down to do it Saturday night, I realized that most of the stuff that was in that podcast I have already put into the podcast about the Facebook Cambridge Analytica thing in podcast 708. And I really was mad at myself, and I really struggled with doing. I mean, I did it like five times, and finally I just gave up. I went upstairs and I'm watching all the Breaking Bads again, and I just said, that's it. And I don't know what I want to do here. I didn't want to write it. And at the same time, I could not pull any thoughts together, and I don't know why. And then Today I was thinking about it, and I kind of figured out that the situation is that, so these days, people who are content creators have a tendency to fire on every story as it's current without really A, knowing the facts, which I've said before, or B, they want to connect the dots long before the dots are connectable. So they want to get up there and tell you what's going to happen with A, B, or C. When I connect the dots, it's because it's happening organically. I don't know that I'm connecting the dots. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about in this podcast, this Easy Talker podcast, which I haven't done in a while, and I like to do these podcasts where I really don't do any prep because sometimes it airs things out and then I feel better. But if you go back and look at my podcasts, you'll find that if you put in something like principles or political principles in the search window down, if you're on a PC, it's on the side of the window. If you're on the phone, it's all the way at the bottom. But if you enter political principles in the search window on the BobDavisPodcast.com. You know, you'll see that there are any number of podcasts where I have been talking about principle for a long time. If you put in fourth industrial revolution or technology revolution, you'll see that I've been talking about the technology revolution since well before 2015. And it's funny, somebody told me this week, oh, my daughter goes to some college and they made all of the students in their economics class watch a speech by former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty about the fourth industrial revolution. And I just got mad. And I was just like, you know, I've been talking about this stuff for years. And I'm certainly not the first person to talk about it, but I've certainly been talking about it longer than Tim Pawlenty. And, you know, I never get any credit for it. So, you know, there's that running through my head. So if you're trying to connect the dots on the news of the day, a lot of times do a search on the BobDavisPodcast.com because you'll find that there was a podcast which I did previously, which with unknowingly connected the dots. For example, the whole thing about Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, I realized that I said everything that I wanted to say about the effects of this whole scandal in podcast 708. I didn't have to do another podcast about American tribes, people self-sorting, into different tribes through Facebook. I'll leave that one through Facebook and other kinds of social media. I'll leave that one to some other time when there's another entry point. And the reason I bring up principle is this, I almost forgot how quickly we forget that this was also the weekend in which Congress passed a $1.3 trillion continuing resolution and the president signed a $1.3 trillion continuing resolution that people think is the budget, but in fact it is a CR and it runs until September, in which time they will have to pass another CR. They also don't seem to understand that Donald Trump gave Congress a $4 trillion budget, so that was kind of the guideline that they were working with. And then he turns around and says, I'm not going to do this again. So that's the kind of stuff that is going on, and it's very hard to follow comments on social media or read stories or read commentary and see how the different tribes, for lack of a better term, react positively or negatively to what is going on. Moreover, once again, if you were to take any of the topics that you're interested in and do a Google search on them or Google Trend search on them, where that is, you go to Google Trends. So just search Google Trends. It'll take you to Google Trends, and you can see that on any given day, there are usually at least 35 or 40 stories before you even get to a political item, and sometimes 90 before you get to a political item that is trending. That ought to tell you what most people are thinking about and talking about and doing. Now, people in politics rail against that, but at the same time, I think it reflects the general fatigue that people have at being constantly aroused at some outrage that we've got to have somebody do something about, to the point where they are being, you know, people in Congress are being yelled at, and the president is being yelled at for not doing something or doing something. Whatever they do is wrong, and there's all these groups that, you know, step up to the plate to protest or to demand this or demand that. And I think people are just reaching the point where they can't deal with it anymore. And I've talked to more and more people that I talk to in all the things that I do, just don't even want to talk about it anymore because they've become disillusioned. I talked to a guy today who's a, you know, big Republican and big Trump supporter in Michigan, and he just said, you know, I am disillusioned because of the budget. And I noticed that today, you know, and yesterday, just in terms of the political commentary on Facebook, there's a lot of people who have big R's in front of their names and voted for Trump that are really disillusioned with the budget. And then, of course, there's the usual Trump supporters that say that he's a genius and he's brilliant and, you know, he gets to it's quote unquote discretionary spending. That's not, by the way, what discretionary spending means. But, you know, it's just we're not getting anywhere. And I've reached the point where I'm starting to say, well, you know, maybe what we ought to do is just wait until some of these stories progress a little bit and come to a point. And in the meantime, as you know, I'm not, I criticize Trump, but I also defend Trump when he does something that I think is right. And I, just as I did with Obama, and I've really decided that I'm not going to try to convince people of anything. I have my opinions. You know, I believe that individual freedom is the only value. When I do political podcasts, which I hate doing, and I don't mean this is a political podcast, I'm sort of giving you podcast consciousness right now. I refuse to tell people how to think. I just won't do it because, they don't listen, and B, you know, all of this persuasion is leading us away from assembling a schedule of facts concerning any one particular story that would enable any reasonable person to come to a conclusion and take a position on their own. And if you're an unreasonable person, if you're a marginal voter that doesn't know anything and you can't figure out how to find out anything, then I can't help you. So I've just I'm not going to do a podcast about every little thing that happens because why? And I'm going to talk more about that in a second. And B, I really don't think it advances anything. I don't think it helps anyone. I don't think it advances the story. And I don't think it adds anything to anyone in terms of their listening pleasure. I don't think it's entertaining, and I don't think it's informative. You know, when I find something to talk about and to be informative and maybe entertaining, I will do it. Meanwhile, I have to, you know, really do some work to figure out what to talk about and how to talk about it, because I'm not going to talk about what's on the cover of the Drudge Report, or I'm not going to talk about what everyone on talk radio is talking about. And I'm going to tell you a couple things about that in a second. I'm not going to talk about what CNN and Fox News are talking about because why? They're already talking about it. And everything that could possibly be said on most of these subjects is being said. Well, you know, I was thinking back to when I first came to Minneapolis a long time ago. And I came on March 23rd, and as I recall, the weather was basically just like it is right now. There's a lot of people out there talking about how cold it is and winter is hanging on, but here's the thing. It's not going to hang on forever, and it could actually warm up at any time. In fact, I said that to somebody today, and they said, when? Is that going to happen next week? I don't know, but when it does, then you're going to start thinking about your AC. And if I know Minnesotans, a lot of people in Minnesota want to turn the air conditioning on when it's 55 degrees outside, and you want to make sure that that thing works. And so when it starts to get warm, now it's got to be at least 75 degrees for Ryan to do an AC check, but before the hot weather kicks in the spring and late spring and early summer, you want to make sure that all of your systems are up and running right, especially these days at home or business. And when that happens, you want to think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul because you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. And again, you can call them once it gets warm for an AC check for home or business when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems. You call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. So I'm sure I've said this before when I've talked about media and when I've talked about talk radio in particular. I did talk radio for a long time, did radio since I was 15, very familiar with programming radio stations and with marketing radio stations and radio shows and doing radio shows and working with people doing radio shows, because that's what I did. And then I started podcasting because radio companies, one of which is bankrupt now and another one which will be bankrupt relatively quickly, insisted on, you know, a lot of control of individual talent, or basically not giving us the resources to do what we felt we should do. And I don't want to get into that because it's negative and I don't want to talk about it. But one of the things I learned towards the end of my talk radio period before I started podcasting was that here's what happens. This is the general trend, and I don't think this has changed. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I think it does need to be said again. Here's what happens. There will be a stimulative event. Something will happen. People will have a fit. And there might be marches. There might be, all sorts of an explosion of opinion. The people who listen to talk radio will call the talk radio station and they will talk about it. Now, if you're inside that radio station and you happen to be lucky enough to have a shift where you're live, what will happen is you will say the thing, whatever the thing is that's going on, shooting or somebody resigns or McMaster's or literally a word, a key word regarding a story, and the phones will explode. And you think you're on top of the world because you'll sit there and five or six lines or 20 lines or whatever number of lines are visible on the codec, the telephone codec at the radio station will be lit up and you'll sit there and take calls. And, you'll think this is this great show because all these people are calling it. And they're all saying the same thing, because what they're doing is repeating what somebody said on a previous show, repeating what you said just before you started taking calls, repeating what somebody else said, repeating what they heard on television, or repeating what they saw on social media. And, you know, it's a big explosion and it goes on for usually, depending on how big the story is, a day or 2 days. If it's a 1 day story, it'll be 1 day. And then the next day you can't get arrested. You know, you say the word, you do the keyword, you say, you know, this happened, call me, and you give out the number, nobody calls. And then you're trolling. So then you start to, well, you know, and you get used to, you know, sort of working those really reactive stories where people call in and it's terrible radio because nobody learns anything and everybody shouts and screams. And sometimes they go to protests and nothing happens. Virtually nothing happens. We have had a number of these protests this year, and in the end, nothing happens. And I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to. You know, we had a weekend where everyone was congratulating the students for their civic responsibility in going out and protesting guns. And they had these signs that said things like, you know, your Second Amendment rights don't take away my rights to be afraid, or whatever it was. It was ridiculous. Because, of course, a victim of a crime doesn't have the right to tell you what your rights are. And by the way, their rights, their constitutional rights have not been taken away by whatever crime was committed that they've become a victim of. But anyway, everyone is congratulating the students, and I find it fascinating. They're on the cover of Time magazine, I guess, or one of those magazines. I happen to run across a picture. I think it's Time. And I guess they should be, because that's the big story, right? Of course, no one reads Time, but that's another thing entirely. And I thought to myself, probably 98% of these kids don't vote. And they won't vote for at least a couple of years, and by the time they vote, some other issue will be prevalent, and who knows what their orientation may or may not be when they finally get to that point. So you know, it's nice that they're protesting and everyone's all upset about this thing that happened in Florida and something must be done. But guess what? Very little is going to be done. And if anything, it's going to be, it's going to end up being so watered down that it will be, they'll be able to say, hey, we did something. We passed some reasonable common sense, you know, in quotes, gun laws, and they won't mean anything. And the same is true with the budget. The same is true with every single issue that comes up that people have a fit about, and they call in and they scream and yell and they pound and nothing happens because they have pre-sorted themselves into predictable groups and they do not organize over issues on issues in such a way as to produce lasting voting coalitions. So as a result, and I'm not going to get into that either in detail, maybe I'll do a podcast about it. As a result, all of this screaming and shouting serves no one. It doesn't do anything. It has nothing to do with anything except it provides optics for the cable channels to cover, which I saw up close during the elections when I was covering the primaries, especially in Iowa. You know, it's the same people at every event for the most part. And the optics are designed to look as though there's this amazing thing going on in Iowa called the caucuses. And thousands of people are showing up for these events and they're huge. And these politicians are up there waxing poetic off the top of their heads. Nothing could be further from the truth. Everything is choreographed. Everything is designed to look bigger than it is. These guys are reading canned speeches and they give their canned speech and they, you know, they walk out of the event and they get on the bus and they leave. And, you know, just to tell you what that means. So that whole Cambridge Analytica story, Cambridge Analytica worked for Ted Cruz, and it's one of the reasons Ted Cruz won the Iowa primary, because they employed some, you know, very modern methods to persuade people, because they were able to, you know, granularly address certain groups in Iowa with mailers and with Facebook ads and so forth on issues that they were concerned about that they said Ted Cruz was going to fix. And it was a big story. So Ted Cruz comes out of this event in Jefferson City, Iowa. I think it was Jefferson, Iowa. I don't think it's Jefferson City, but it's, you know, he was at the rec center there for his final speech, comes running out of there, and I positioned myself in front of the bus because I wanted to ask him about this mailer thing. So he comes out, and I said, you know, I'm not going to get an interview. I asked the guy who was with the campaign, hey, I would like to talk to the senator. What do you want to talk to him about? Well, you know, I shouldn't have told him, but I said, I want to talk about this mailer thing and some other stuff, and I'd love to talk to him. And he goes, well, we can get you Heidi. Well, I don't want Heidi. I want the senator. And so I said, the hell with this. And I went out and I positioned myself in front of the bus, which people do. And I decided that what I was going to do was shout questions because that was what we're left with, you know. And this is where people attack the media. And then, you know, the media is left to do something that will get people to pay attention to them or stand there and shout questions. And I've had people tell me, reporters, nobody learns anything on the campaign trail. They have to have their contacts back in Washington. And the good publications and outlets have people, you know, and in New York and Washington. They're talking to people at the State Department. They've got sources in these campaigns, and they talk back to us and tell us what we should be looking for on the campaign trail. So I shouted this question, and he got mad at me because he didn't want to answer the Cambridge Analytica question. But there you go. You know, that was probably the campaign. There were a couple of campaigns where foreign nationals worked on a local campaign in a state. And that happens to be illegal. And that's one of the things that Cambridge Analytica, if you even know what I'm talking about, is being investigated for. Well, there was the question that could have been asked right then if he had responded to it. And we, of course, now know why the senator did not respond to that question, because he knew not to, because that was a secret weapon, A. And B, maybe he did know that, you know, how Cambridge Analytica was getting the job done, right? Who knows now? But that's what I'm talking about. They don't answer questions. You know, they don't tell you anything. So what happens is the media doesn't have anything to say. So they fill in the blanks and they predict the future and they tell people what's going to happen and what isn't going to happen. You know, if I do that, it's completely organically, meaning that I do it and I don't know that I'm doing it. And I found by looking at my own stuff, my own podcasts, the last 706 podcasts, you know, there's a few that are ridiculous, and then there are a few that are oddly prescient, that where I did predict the future. And, you know, that's one thing. The second thing I want to say is, and I, by the way, I urge you to use the search window, because virtually the entire website is searchable. So if you go on to thebobdavispodcast.com, you're going to find a search window. So type in any topic, or you can just scan through the podcasts that are there. You know, they're all searchable. Any of the blog is searchable. And so you can go back through and find, and you can listen to those podcasts and you can tell me whether I was prescient or not. I think I was, in a lot of cases, because I was detecting something organically that we now know, at least in the case of the mailers with Ted Cruz, was going on. So that was a real key question to have asked at the time and to have received an answer. But see, that's not the way things work today. They don't answer questions. And so what happens is, in our world, everything somebody does is right or wrong, depending on what side of the political aisle you identify with, which is why I have reached the point where I refuse to identify with any. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to compliment Trump on two things, and both of them are ephemeral, meaning that they may fade away. But I have castigated the president for being a trade protectionist. I refer to him as Lyndon Baines Nixon, and I've actually started lately putting in a third name, Lyndon Baines Nixon Chavez, because he is a populist, and he and others on both sides of the political spectrum have taken to using the tactic of populism. That is, you know, advising and creating and discussing policy that supposedly is for the little guy. And most of the time, populist policies turn out to be egregious failures. And one of the things that Trump has always been is a trade protectionist. So recently he announced steel tariffs, which are really directed at Chinese steel production. And I've castigated him for being a trade protectionist. And of course, the market also castigated the president for being a trade protection, because the stock markets do not like trade protection. But I want people to know that just the Wall Street Journal just this weekend announced that the Chinese have basically blinked, and they've come to the table and said they now want to start negotiating on some of these issues related to tariffs, because they want to get the tariffs taken care of. So those who said, and you know, I looked askance at the people that said, well, he's negotiating. Well, maybe he was negotiating, and maybe it will all work out, and maybe he was actually doing a good thing, right? And I think the same is true with the North Koreans. People center to the left, and even some conservatives, are so, you know, they hate Trump so much that they have to criticize him for everything. So he, you know, engaged in some pretty bellicose exchanges with Kim Jong-un, who is the, you know, the king of North Korea, basically. And, you know, there was quite a lot of people saying he's going to start a war and blah, 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 blah. And I avoided commenting on it because I tend to agree that a little bit stronger rhetoric might actually get through. Like, remember when he said, I've got a bigger button than he does, and everybody freaked out and he's going to start a war and millions of South Koreans are going to die, which could happen if a war did start. And then we find out that during the Olympics, the North Koreans blinked. Now, are they doing what they always do, where they basically create a huge spectacle and then sue for peace or sue for talks and try to get sanctions taken in? So they're constantly playing this game of being a hard ass and then coming to the table and acting weak to try to get concessions. But in any case, they agreed to talks, you know, and so, you know, maybe sometimes he could be right about things. Now, I'm not saying he's right about things. So if you hate Trump, don't freak out and refuse to listen anymore because obviously he's a secret Trumper. No, I don't like populists, and I don't like populist tactics, because it's a tactic. It's not a policy body. You know, populist ideas, things like getting off the gold standard, you know, trade protection, things of that nature, populist politics, I don't think is good governance. And, you know, so there's that. I mean, I believe that right now the biggest problem that we have is the Republicans really are statists, and so are the Democrats. So we don't really have a party that is working on reducing the size, scope, and power of government. We have both parties working on building up the power of the government because everybody wants the government to be more powerful. You know, the left wants the government to be more powerful so they can take away the guns. The right wants the government to be more powerful so they can stop Muslims from coming to America and stop Muslims from joining political parties. Oh, yes, they are. And it's a big issue in Minnesota, or they want to stop Mexicans from coming here or whatever. They want these macro policies. So both sides want the government to not get off their back. They want the government to be more powerful. And, you know, it's vexing. But I can't do a podcast about that every time. I just want to say, and I did this with Obama, and people get so mad at me. I'd say, well, you know, this might not be such a bad thing, or this is something he did that's actually a good thing, let's say. I can't remember what it was, but people, they were, you know, so upset that I had complimented President Obama for something, or that you complimented President Bush for something. When Bush was president, and you know, you had to criticize Bush, and this is the same thing with Trump. You have to criticize Trump, and if you don't, no one likes you. And this is what people do. And then, of course, what you end up with is you end up people position against that subconsciously. So if you're of the cohort that hates Trump, then when you intersect or interface with somebody on Facebook that loves Trump, then the Trumpers are going to defend Trump no matter what he does. So pass a $1.3 trillion budget, increase spending by hundreds of millions of dollars in, you know, three quarters, throw out trade protection laws, you know, whatever he does, he's brilliant, and he's rope-a-doping everybody, you know. And if you're on the left, he got up today, which means he's a horrible person. And you know, I mean, CNN is ridiculous, and Fox News is ridiculous. And I don't mean to keep banging on them, but rather than provide information, what they have done is they have decided that they're going to take a position, and so they're going to be the standard for people who support the president, and one's going to be the standard for people who don't support the president. And that's not information media. That is, you know, propaganda. So that's what I'm dealing with. And so I don't do as many podcasts as I could do because I don't want to be forced to talk about that stuff. You know, there's lots of things going on out there. Very quickly, I'm not traveling because, you know, I'm trying to build my business up, thebobdavispodcast.com. And I have to spend a lot of time having meetings with business people, and I'm learning a lot about their objections to podcast advertising, and you can't leave because, you know, they think you're on vacation when you're traveling. So I had the truck out today, parked over at Lake Beatty Makaska or Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis for a little while with some friends. We were doing something there, and it was nice to have it out. And everyone was like, well, how come you're not traveling? And I was like, hey, I'm here trying to build my business. I got to get the business built up a little bit, you know, before I go traveling again. But when I go travel and I start talking about the experiences I'm having when I'm traveling, even if like the next mission is going to probably be way south, people are like, you know, they don't understand I'm on a story. They think I'm just taking time off. And so then they don't call you because, oh, well, he's on vacation. I don't want to bother him while he's on vacation. It's like, I have a thing called a cell phone, and I have this device. You can text me, you know, you can send me emails, you can call me, and I will pick up the phone 24 hours a day. But, you know, when I travel and when I talk about the experiences that I have when I travel, and I'm getting better at those travel podcasts where I'm interviewing people and going places that are interesting, you know, when I do that, I watch on my analytics, I watch the demographics change, I watch females come in, I watch younger people come in, and I watch people who are really nice and really friendly, and all they want to do is tell you that they went to this really cool place in Missouri once, right off, you know, Highway 169, and it was really good barbecue. You know, hey, I don't know if you're going to go by this place, or you should stop and see us, you know, that kind of thing. Or we had a camper once and we did this. And they're all just really nice, and there's no fighting. People don't go, well, if you've got one of those campers, you're an idiot. You know, they don't do that. They are willing to share information. Everybody wants to share information about their RV and how it works, and it's great. Or when I do a yoga podcast, you know, people don't send me nasty emails about, doing standing bow. You know, they don't say, well, you're obviously an idiot. You don't know anything about standing bow. They, you know, they just, because we don't do that in yoga. It's like people are like, oh, so that's his experience. Here's my mine. In fact, people have come up to me and said, hey, I love the yoga podcast because I've had many of those experiences. I couldn't believe how many of the same experiences you had that I had. And I really loved that. And that makes me feel great. Politics doesn't do that. When you talk about politics, especially if you're advocating, and you know, I have one value and one value only that I try to advocate for and communicate, and that is individual freedom. Leave us alone. Stop telling us what we can do. Stop telling us what we can have. Stop telling us what we can smoke. Stop listening to our conversations. Stop trying to manipulate us. Stop trying to get us to go to war. Stop, stop, stop. Get out of our face. Let us provide the food. Let us provide the business. And we'll pay our taxes such as they are if you just leave us alone. But they can't do that because of the way things are. So when you talk politics, you know, everybody, you know, wants to fight, and I'm just so tired of that because, surprisingly, travel, yoga, other issues that aren't related to that, whether I find some crazy thing that I've been thinking about that I just talk about, like summer, or this, you know, whether or not it's still a cold winter, or what's going to happen with this, or here's what's going on in my community, or something like that, people don't do that. They're not nasty because they don't feel the need to square off against somebody. And why they feel the need to do that, I do think is driven by social media, but I don't see the point of, you know, telling you that because you already know that, right? So that's kind of the state of affairs in the podcast world. And, you know, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing podcasts. I got 709 podcasts. There's going to be 710 and eventually 1,000. I love the travel stuff and I will be back on the road soon. And if I could actually stop and just do that and cover a few stories every now and then and talk about the stuff that I'm experiencing and I'm working toward that because I have to have a nationally oriented business to do that. And I figured out how I can possibly do that. Then that's what I'll do. And, you know, the Bob Davis podcast won't be, and really these days, it's really not a political podcast. This is a podcast about lifestyles. This is a podcast about the sociology in America. This is a podcast to talk about ideas about society, not to fight about whether Trump is this or Trump is that. You know, the experience I had, and I'll just close with this, that really triggered the Tribes podcast. I did a podcast, that Facebook podcast, Podcast 708, where I gave that podcast a specific search engine optimization title for two reasons. One, I wanted it to work. So I developed that title, Facebook's Very Bad, No Good, Data Breach, Elected a Bad Person President, you know, Something Must Be Done. And it was a sarcastic title because this was the reaction of everyone to this supposed stealing of America's private data and manipulation, God forbid, by somebody who used Facebook advertising to quote-unquote manipulate people. And the gist of the thing was, if you're stupid enough to get your news from Facebook, and especially if you're stupid enough to get your news from Facebook and never read the articles that people post or the podcasts or the videos, you know, and react to titles, then you deserve whoever you get as president, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. It doesn't make any difference because you're not going to care anyway because you are a marginal voter, okay? And I put that podcast up, and I was shocked at the number of people who literally proved the point, and that was they commented almost immediately on the title. They never bothered to listen to the podcast. They never bothered to read the blog. They just attacked because I looked like they thought I was a Democrat. They thought I was a left winger who, you know, thinks that Trump is an illegitimate president, which I never said. I never said it in the podcast. I never have said it at all. You know, listen to my election night coverage. Just search it. Election 2016, you're going to get the phone book of podcasts that I did, you know, leading up to the election and after. In fact, I was one of the first people to say this guy can win. In fact, I said it before that idiot Dilbert guy. So, you know, this is my point about being organically predictive without, in other words, without trying to predict the future, basically saying, yeah, you know, the probability shows, the polls showed that he could win. And I was shocked at the people. And I said to one of the guys, and I actually had to pull the comments and I would send them a personal message that said, hey, you know, this really isn't what you think it is. I mean, the title was designed to not have Facebook suppress it because Facebook has been suppressing content it thinks is quote unquote conservative or quote unquote from the right. So I specifically designed that title so that it wouldn't get suppressed by Facebook. And then I boosted it. I spent money to digitally market it. And I marketed it directly to talk radio people. And guess what? Those are the people that were super nasty. So I would send them a personal message. Hey, man, I might be something a little different than what you think. Listen to it before you comment, blah, 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 blah. And they throw a tantrum. F you. You're one of those liberal left-wing people, which is crazy if you know me. I'm an anarchist, basically. I'm a market anarchist. All I want is the market. Leave me alone and turn it off. I don't want any government, please. But anyway, it's just nuts that what happens with social media, where people square off without knowing it. And inadvertently, they prove the point that this is how people are manipulated. So, this is why I don't want to do too much political stuff until there's a point of entry. And I will. And that's when I research something extensively, because there's a point of entry where I can say, now this is something that we can talk about. This is something that has some long-term, impact that we should talk about, and I'll research it and give you as many facts as I can give you, as I did with the Facebook Analytica thing, which in more facts may come out, and then it'll obviate the facts that are up there, and that's fine. And sometimes it happens the very next day, but at least that's up to the minute what I know about something, and hopefully that gives you some more information. But this partisanship, because you've self-sorted into a group, is really got to stop. And I just am not helpful. And this weekend, same thing. The budget, there were a number of local Senate districts here in Minnesota that had conventions this weekend, and people tried to pass resolutions. And there were all these back and forth comments on Facebook about stupid people and idiots and bad people. And this is, and it's just, it's like, first of all, who's reading this stuff? Second of all, this is a tiny slice of the population. So I'm not going to engage on every little political issue. And I'm not going to do podcasts that are essentially repetitive or repeating what the podcast right before said. I literally worked all weekend on this podcast and threw it away. So I feel a lot better doing it this way. So anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast, because it helps to clear the head for sure. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul to do the AC check. And I'm mentioning this now because it's going to get warm. And when it does, if it goes to over 70 for the ninth time, you can call them and have them check your AC. And you want to make sure you got filters. You want to make sure the thing's working. Sometimes the box is rusty, or there's stuff stuck in there, and you want to make sure it's all working. So check out Ryan Plumbing online at RyanPlumbing.com. Yes, I have talked about something called trade protection, and it's in the news. And, we talked about it a little bit in this podcast. Some companies are watching this and preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the U.S. If this is you, if you're thinking about reshoring, don't forget Depot Star, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing, DEPOT, Depot Star at DepotStar.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 709, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Have a good Monday, Tuesday, or whenever you hear this podcast.